this is Rob.
Hi, this is Darren of Jaywalker. You're listening to Music's Journey podcast
with our friend, our buddy, Kim Sear.
I remember the heart on her necklace, the $10 bed was the song that band was playing. I remember my name on her lips, the red in her kiss, and the way those jeans were swaying. Every little curve, the love we made, I remember the look she gave. Oh, but ask me why I let her slip away.
Award-winning artists Darren Gosnowski and Rob Shapiro are here, and they are a force in Canadian country music. They have been for so many years with top 20 hits, winning multiple awards, and they've also been supporting acts for some of the biggest names in country music today. And they are back as country's newest duo, Jaywalker. You've just heard a teaser of their debut single called Drawing a Blank, which we'll be playing in just a bit. We'll be diving into the lyrics, the music, and some great stories from these two. They have been around the world, and such exciting news with their debut EP coming up, and it's coming really soon. You are listening to Music's Journey, and I'm your host here, Kim Sear. Welcome to the show, Darren and Rob.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How about you?
Hey, Bob. Excellent.
It has been a while since I've seen you guys.
I'm trying to figure out exactly when that was.
Well, I think we were jamming after Boot Hill, I think.
Exactly. Yep, you are right. You are correct.
There was no gray hair on Darren.
That's funny.
Sorry, Darren, I had to. I almost didn't recognize you. I almost did not recognize you. John and I were looking at the pictures. I'm going, that's not Darren. That is Darren.
I know.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there. Just sort of a George Clooney thing going on, that's all. You know?
Yeah. It looks good.
I mean, it's the cool thing now, right? Everybody's dyeing their hair gray, so I mean, that's the cool thing.
It looks good. I'm telling you. Looks really good. I had to tease you about that. I don't know. It's been a long time. What, that 2009 or 2010?
Has it been that long?
It has. It has been that long. What exciting news about this debut single for Jaywalker. Every single time I see videos and things that you guys, little skits you guys are doing, what was the last one you did, running through the parking lot? Where did I just see that?
Let's see. What were we doing? I think...
some kind of flotation device.
Oh, geez. I don't know. Like the last one I remember is that we were in the studio doing Behind the Song, and our friend Travis, who was directing, had a lot of questions for us, but I don't remember us running. Oh, you know what? We were jaywalking.
That's right.
That was, could have been the thing.
Yeah. I'm laughing because you guys always crack me up. That's the one thing you guys have always had is a great sense of humor.
Great. Well, we're in the music business. You need a good sense of humor.
Boy, I'm telling you, it's tough these days, isn't it? It's so tough. But you guys, the sound is amazing. And you're working with Jeff Dizell too. Holy cow.
Yeah, Jeff's been really super great. It's been a while since we recorded some music, and to work with such a, you know, prominent producer.
Mm-hmm.
And he just brought some really, you know, Rob being, you know, an award-winning piano player, as we all know, it was just nice that he brought that to the forefront in these songs that we recorded, you know, and that sound as part of our band, because that always has been. So that's been great.
That's been such a huge part. I know that you're still working, too, with Aaron. Are you working with Aaron now as a part of his band, Rob?
Rob is part of Aaron Goodvin's band. He's playing keyboards with him, and I'm doing some work with Dan Davidson.
Oh, nice. Really nice.
Yeah, so we're just, you know, we took some time off just from being artists and doing the whole having to get to the gig and then go do interviews and be up early for radio, and it was just kind of nice sitting back, having some time just to kind of hang out and play our instruments and not be in the forefront. But then, you know, we had all these songs that, you know, we'd written, and we'd written some music, Rob and I together, with some other people that we write with, and just thought, you know, it's time to get back on the horse, as they say, and put some music out.
So glad you guys are back, because we missed you so much. It's just that sound. You guys are just really, really great writers and great singers.
Oh,
so really nice to have you back.
Thank you so much.
Nice to
That's
have you.
That's awesome of you. Thank you.
Now, for our international listeners out there who might not know, so let's get everybody caught up a little bit to how you guys met. You guys formed a band early, but then you were playing for Gord Bamford's band for a long time, and then you went on to Utter Madness, I believe, right?
That is correct, yeah. You go ahead, Rob. You can tell the story.
Well, you're really going back, Kim. Holy smokes. I'm going to have to call my mom for confirmation on some of this stuff here, but... Yeah, I was in a band called Kid Country, and I finished up with that band, and did a bit of freelancing, which included playing with Gore Bamford, and Darren was the band leader for Gore, and so that's how we started working together.
Mm-hmm.
And we're both Grant McEwen alumni, which is a music school here in Edmonton, and so we had a little bit of that in common, and coming up playing six nights a week in the clubs, and really, really sort of, you know, we had quite a bit in common there. So we played with Gord, and Gord slowed down a bit, and so we wanted to stay working, so we created Utter Madness.
Mm-hmm.
That's with the two D's, and don't judge us, Kim.
I won't.
Yeah, it was really funny at the time until, you know, the mad cow disease thing happened, and it didn't work out so well in our favor.
See, and look what happened now. See where you are today.
Yeah, you got to go through these hurdles.
They just haven't diagnosed anything yet, that's all.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you guys were formerly of Hey Romeo, and that's when I met you guys. And you guys were so successful in that band as well. So tell us about that amazing journey. But you guys have also done so much, as you said, on your own, in the awards that you guys have gotten. I know for you, Rob, you've gotten so many at this point. And Darren, you've been up for so many as well. So talk about that a little bit.
Go ahead, Rob. I just wanted to segue into Utter Madness became Hey Romeo.
Yes.
And so that's, we connected that. So I just wanted to say, you know, that was sort of the last stop of how we kind of connected with Stacey Roper. And then we recorded 5 albums through our 10 years with that band. And we're lucky enough to win a couple of awards, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
And then that kind of really ran its course. And we got to play 7 countries though with Hey Romeo. And
which is pretty cool.
You know, 5 records. Yeah, it was pretty great. Like the Caribbean, in the U.S., you know, during NFR, it was really amazing to play the Mirage, a Canadian band, comes and plays during NFR. So that was totally crazy, you know, because there's a million American acts that would love to go do that. We were fortunate enough to get over to to France to play the Country Music Bike Festival, I guess is what it was called back then. And it's been good. We've been back a couple of times since. So Europe has been good to us. And so that kind of, it's full circle, you know, to be able to come back and to do it and to be able to keep making records and bring Jay Walker to all our fans that have remember who we are. So it's been cool so far.
It's kind of nice too, because with COVID, things have changed dramatically, obviously, when it comes to the live performances now. And, you know, when COVID hit, you guys were working really hard on music, as well as a lot of the musicians out there in bands, and everything had to come to a full stop. But you guys are so used to playing live. So how did that all work with you? Because I know that had to have been really hard, because social media just wasn't the same back then as it is today.
It was quite difficult. Well, at the beginning, it was nice to have, you were able to sit back and go, okay, this is, you know, you're not having to, you know, oh, we got to get ready for this gig and we got this show to do, that show to do. It was kind of nice to just have a little bit of a break. But as it went on, it got a little more unnerving as we moved forward, because we were just starting, Jay Walker was, you know, we were getting ready to drop mm-hmm. the music and film a video the week that everything shut down. So mm-hmm. it proved very difficult, because, you know, a lot of people like their bands, they'll hear them on the radio, but they don't really take them as their own until they meet them at a live show and say, okay, I've heard your music, I like you guys live, I've mm-hmm. met you, you're super guys, and then they're invested in you, you know, through the live shows, which was something that we've always done throughout our careers, and to have that taken away was very difficult. But we had some good help moving forward with our friend Catherine Hummel, who's, you know, her and her friend Mariah are really good with the social media, and were able to kind of coach us through and give us a new avenue, I guess, is what it would be, to connect with fans, which has been going well for us, I'd have to say. Yeah,
because I know that a lot of the bands found that part the hardest, working with social media, especially when you're used to performing live, to be able to connect is just not the same energy. So when you're doing these shows, it's different when you're doing it and fans are typing in questions. It's just not the same thing. But yet everybody's had to adapt. And now you guys are seen even more in the UK and Australia and Japan and so many of these other countries. It's just pretty incredible how much that silver lining has opened up a little bit with this COVID.
For sure. I mean, I think it's a double-edged sword. It's like, how else are you going to connect with people across the planet if mm-hmm. you're not playing live? they got to discover you one way or another. And it's like, you have to do social media and you've got to do the paid posts and the boosts. And so sure enough, everyone has got to make money. It's not just the budget that's for to record the single and to promote it at radio. It's like, now you better have a budget for social media. You better have budget to push your messaging out online. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the reality of it. And it still needs to be great music, and it still needs to be a great song, and it still needs to be mixed great, and it still needs to be produced great, but you better have money to get it out there, or it's you'll just get swallowed up. There's so many acts and there's so many songs, and mm-hmm. It's more competitive than ever. It's extremely crowded, we'll say.
Very, very true, Rob, because when we're talking about the live streaming, anybody and everybody now can be seen, and they can have votes put on Spotify, like Amazon. Everything is open now. And so everything's kind of leveled out as a playing field, I would say.
Totally. Yeah, you're totally correct. And you just have to embrace it. You can't complain about it. And you just have to embrace it. And so we're on Instagram and of course, the great Facebook, way too much, of course. But, you know, if you have something to say, and you know, we've been building our YouTube, trying to get that cracking. And just, you know, Spotify and Apple Music and Amazon, just to make sure that they're hearing from us and knowing that, you know, we're not going away. You know, this is a project that's going to continue to get effort, and it's going to continue. We're going to be here next week. We're going to be here next month. We're going to be here next year. So they just want to know that, you know, you're there, and then you'll break through.
It's a full-time job, you know, to have somebody doing social media. Because I remember doing the shows, you know, when I first met you guys, it was one thing for Facebook. You're putting it up there and you're putting it up on your website. You're doing the shots and then you're doing the interviews. Now it's just, you got to be live tweeting. You got to have everything up on Instagram. Everything is in time, real time. And it's so tough to do it all.
It is. And it's a quality issue too. You want to have good quality stuff as well, which is always challenging in some situations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've done some live streaming stuff where you're playing it on your end and you feel great about the show, but on their end, it's due to the glitch of the worldwide interwebs. It's, you know, you guys cut out halfway through, or this happened or that happened. So it's always a challenge to have not only lots of content, but quality content that makes you stand out, you know, in a way that people go, well, this looks good. What is this? You know, what's happening here, there? And it's always, you know, like you say, it's a full-time job. It's not only the music and everything, like Rob says, that has to be good. You have to have a little something, you know, like our sense of humor, you know, comes across, we feel, in a good sense. We're giving people not only good music, but a good laugh as we go along. So that works in our favor.
God love you. God love you, because I sit there, I know as soon as I see something that you guys have posted, I just have to click on it. I'm going to laugh no matter how bad my day is today. You guys are going to make me laugh. You always do. Always.
Good to know.
Keep it up. We need more. Some more flotation devices running through parking lots and doing the stuff you guys do.
Man, oh man, that stuff goes by pretty fast. Speaking of that stuff, we're shooting a video. Well, we'll have shot it. By the time this airs, we will have shot it, and it'll be out before the end of August. So it'll be on YouTube and all our socials. So check it out for Drawing a Blank, and we can't wait to shoot it. It's with our friend Travis Nesbitt, who's...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, Travis does all the Dan Davidson stuff and Brett Kissel and everybody. He's kind of the video director of the stars, you might say. So he's our pal.
Good connections. And,
looking forward to doing that for sure.
Oh, I can't wait, because I know that he's done some pretty funny stuff too. He's had a good sense of humor in there as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. He's a jokester, that guy, for sure.
He fits right in with you guys, right in there.
Yeah, he does. He does so.
Who's the biggest jokester out of the two of you, Rob or Darren? Which one?
Darren, for sure. Darren, like, not close.
We both have
our own individual sense of humors, which, you know, work. They're quite complimentary. You know?
Very good. Well, it's, I know,
like the Three Stooges, only there's two of us.
Exactly. Two Stooges.
I used to sit there, and I remember being in the front of the stage and waiting for Rob to smile, but he's got that cheeky grin, really cheeky grin, so you always know, right? So I used to have so much fun. All right, now, you guys have been supporting acts for some of the biggest country acts in the business, like Sugarland, you know, when they first broke out, which is really kind of cool when you think about that, and Alan Jackson. The Calgary Stampede has always been a home for you guys, always been a huge staple. Terry Clark, there's been so many. Playing for the big arenas and the stadiums, share some of those special memories touring and opening up for some of those great artists, Rob.
Well, I guess you're right about that. When you look back, it's pretty fun to think about, you know, you got to not take it for granted, number one, and go, you know, a lot of people will not get to do that. So we got to remind ourselves, you know, that we've had a chance to share the stage with some cool people and to, you know, to go across Canada with them too, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I would say that we did a lot with Gord Banfer. We went out and toured across Canada with him twice. And because of Gord, we pretty much got to meet our producer for the Hey Romeo Records, Byron Hill, who is an award-winning songwriter, producer. He wrote hits for George Strait, Alabama, Reba. Mm-hmm. You know, so we were really fortunate to meet, and Byron kind of took us under his wing and made all kinds of time for us to write songs and produce our first two Hey Romeo Records. And, you know, we have a lifelong friendship.
He's a pretty special guy. Very, very special guy.
Yeah. We still stay in touch with them and always make time to write songs when we're in Nashville. So, you know, I got to say that. And then as things kind of progressed from that, we were with the Sakamoto agency recently, and we actually did have some of those people worked at a different agency and gave us some support as well. And we got onto a couple of big tours for us at the time, which was getting to meet the Nitty Gritty, their band, and to play with them. For them to bring us on stage and play a song with them was really cool.
Well, it's nice too, because with Jeff being the journey of the pre-Eagles, like that sound of country back then, you know, and...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so we were discussing cool. all that with him, just the early, you know, they were there when it was, you know, all that kind of sound was happening, and just the way some bands went a little more rock and roll, and the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band went a little more country, because John McEwen is, you know, a very, you know, banjo, guitar, you know, wizard. He used to come into our dressing room, and he'd go, "You, play these chords for me," and we'd start playing, and I'm no bluegrasser, and I'd start playing these bluegrass songs with him, and so he was giving me a bunch of lessons while we were on the road, you know, schooling me in the older country guitar styles, which was really cool. But yeah, it was just interesting to hear those guys, you know, Jimmy, talk about just how the music was coming along at that period. And that band started in 1969, was the first.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they've,
you know, they've been around for so long.
They've mentored so many people. When we got into the country rock genre, that's when it all started back then. And it's just like, we think about how much it's evolved and how many people have looked back at that band and still do. Mm-hmm. And that's been that huge stepping stone for so many people.
It's incredible their career and just how the longevity in this. I mean, the songs have such staying power. Those mm-hmm. songs that they, you know, their hits are just, I was just out camping the other day and everybody's like, "Oh, hey, do you know Mr. Bojangles? Do you know, you know?" Mm-hmm. It's like, wow. You know, and younger people, not just of our ilk.
Of our ilk. It's nice because the generations are hearing now, because there's so much more interest, I think, too, because of the platform, that everybody has to be able to hear more music than they ever did before. And so they can dive into classic country, they can dive into rock country, they can dive into where all of these different genres started and how they crossed over into country.
Yeah, for sure. It's, you know, well, you just scroll down to the bottom of your artist and they say similar artists, right? So they mm-hmm. can always look and see what is there. And there's just so much information. I mean, if you want to dig deep on, you know, people's influences, just say one name and it's like, oh, well, who influenced you? Oh, well, who influenced you? And it's so, you know, just to dive back and see that string of influence back mm-hmm. to the older genres, it's so accessible now as compared to when, you know, when we started out, it was more talking to other musician friends and it's like, oh, well, he was in this band before. I've read an article where he listened to these guys, right? So, yeah, it's just the information's, I mean, it's information overload if you want it to be,
for
sure.
A little bit. Just a yeah. little bit. What was your influence and when did you get the music bug and the writing bug, Darren?
My early influences were actually more blues, and I got into country through my cousins, the Poverty Plainsmen. They were a quite prominent band back in the 90s mm-hmm. and in the prairies here. And I think the biggest turnaround for me, like, I listened to blues and a little more rock guitar, kind of metal sort of stuff. And my mom bought home this, they went to Nashville and she brought home this tape and she says, "You got to listen to this." And she put this thing in and there's this fiery acoustic guitar intro and this band cuts in and the playing was amazing. And it was Ricky Skaggs, Country
oh,
Boy.
Nice.
And it knocked me out. And at the time I was quite into
Crosby, Stills and Nash and the harmonies and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it sort of had all that in it. It mm-hmm. had this great guitar playing. It had this amazing vocal harmonies. And of course, the songwriting was just always, any country song is always a well-written song. So it sort of turned me to that genre. You know, I was listening, got into a little more of, you know, Marty Stewart and Dwight Yoakam, because it was a little more, you know, honky-tonk bluesy type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just the lyrics always drew me in. There was always a story there that you could follow along. You didn't have to think about it. It was just like, yeah, they're dragging me through this story. And yeah, that's, I could see myself in these stories. So
that's the one thing with country, is that it lends itself to pretty much any kind of lyrics that you want to be able to put into it, any kind of story. Mm-hmm. And it's accepted.
I notice in certain, you know, like people like Keb Moe, or, you know, he's a blues guy, different artists, that older artists, they move to Tennessee because of the tax. They don't get taxed as older people there.
Mm-hmm.
And their songs, I mean, they're musically, they're the same. Lyrically, I think they're better songs because they're writing with Nashville people.
It's true. The more, you know, that's, I think, the difference too. And you guys probably can talk about this, Rob. When you guys first started out, you know, as independent artists, and I know that it's the same today when it comes to what everybody has to do when it comes to being your own spokesperson, but it is tough where when you started out back then, the label got behind you, they did pay for a lot of the promotion, they did take care of you in a way that's not the same today. So independent artists starting out today, you got to have a full-time job. You got to be working, you know, nighttime, doing your gigs and writing. It's just so difficult to pay for studio time. And now, like you're talking about earlier, the marketing for social media, there's just so much involved now financially than what there used to be.
We were just having, we have these weekly conference calls, Kim, with our GPS promotion, who does our radio promotion, which is part of the Sakamoto agency. And we do.
Congratulations on that, by the way.
Thank you so much. Yeah, they're a great team, and it does make a big difference when you have a little team behind you there's an infrastructure that's keeping you on task and looking out for your best interest and advocating for you, I guess, is the word.
And Paul's good. Paul's really good for that whole team.
Oh, yeah, for sure he is, and he's always been there for us. And so we've been lucky, and Tara Lee Flyman, who's been a friend of ours for a long time, is working radio for us, who does GPS. And so that's a big thing to have, and you got to have that. And if you're left to your own devices, you can get swallowed up into the details of it and to be overwhelmed by it, because there's so much to do. And we were just talking about how much more there is you have to do than you used to be, like back even 5 years ago when Hey Romeo, when we split up, you know, we knew what was expected of us as artists and what you have to do and what the commitments are. But now, 5 years later, it's tripled. It's an incredible amount that is expected. And you can't complain about it. It's just a fact. It's just, you know,
it's what it is.
I need to be there.
Yeah. It's what it is now. It's not just about writing and getting, like, I know that that's the one thing before a label even touch anybody. You got to have so much money behind you, and then you've got to spend. They'll tell you it's like, what, a 5-year career in Nashville just to go and write with as many people as you can possibly write with. And, you know, get yourself in those rooms. And that's the one advantage that you guys have had, because you've worked with so many of the greats. And, you know, you guys are amazing yourselves. And, you know, just everything that you guys have accomplished so far in your careers is just incredible.
Are you ever good to us?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Well, you need a good TikTok, too. That's what I've heard. God.
I'm not there yet. I don't have time.
Avoided the TikTok, Kim. I don't know how we've avoided it. And we fought tooth and nail with the TikTok. But maybe it happens. Who knows?
Oh, come on. I know this is going to be good, because I can guarantee you there's going to be some hats and a little bit of dancing involved with Rob there. We got to get him moving, right?
Oh, God. For what you wish for.
I'm calling you out. Come on, Darren, you can get him going, right?
Yeah, I'll get one of those, like, you know how they, back in the day, they had those chicken pads where they put the electric shocks in the mat, the chicken had to move around. Maybe I'll do that.
Just get him running around after a chicken, like Jade had Dean Brody, right? Doing the chicken challenge. That would work. That would work. I guarantee you, if Darren's thinking about it, it's going to happen. It'll work. Now, the brand new single, we got to talk about it because it's absolutely amazing. I love your sound. I always have. You guys have got a real gift when it comes to writing. Now, I know that you were working with Aaron Goodvin. Now, he had the title for this one?
Yeah, he did. He, Darren and I were in Nashville, and we'd been writing, filled our calendars with all the best writers we could. And Paul Biro actually said, have you written with Aaron yet? And I was like, no, haven't, but we should. And so I'm so glad that we did, because Darren and I had played for Aaron when he was just coming up at the Grand Prairie Bud Country Jamboree, I guess is what
called. That's
back
a while
then.
Ago. Yeah.
And so it had been a long time, and we hadn't really seen him since he'd moved to Nashville. So it was cool to just see how well he's doing. And so we were like, okay, let's write a song. So sure enough, we went through a bunch of titles like you do. You have your laptops and you're ripping through all the titles. And he had, you know, was like, I think I have something, but I don't know if it's going to work. And he kind of spit out the title, and it was like we all kind of looked at each other and said, oh, that's interesting. And sure enough, it turned into a really good song, if I do say so myself.
It is. It is. Absolutely
so
love it.
So happy we did it.
Yeah, I mean, we are too. we are really too. It's got a really cool hook to it. And Drawing a Blank, I just love the spin on it. It's just so cool. Every one of us can deal with that. I do it every day.
Yeah.
Are you doing back to back like I am in the magazine? I draw a blank all the time. It's just not the same meaning as what you guys have for the song.
Yeah.
So talk about going into the studio with Jeff and taking this whole song as well as the new music that you got coming out as well. But talk about working with Jeff.
Well, like I said before, I just felt that he produced a lot of different people. And usually you find that a producer, you could start to tell what they sound like. It's like, oh, that sounds like this, or that sounds like a that production. And I just found with Jeff that he really brought forth the individual sound of the artist that he was working with. You know, like, you know, Washboard Union had a sound, and the other artists just had this sound that he brought forth. And when we started working with him, he gave us these little things to do. He said, you know, I want you to listen to these songs and tell me what you think about them. And it was, you know, a lot of the stuff on the radio, he'd take the top tens and go, here's this top 10 list, go listen to this and tell me what you like and what you don't like. And we'd go through and, you know, discuss the things that we enjoyed and the things that we didn't enjoy. And then, you know, after a few weeks of not only that, but of, you know, we were giving him songs and we were giving him demos of songs, and he would say, no, just play them on acoustic and vocal, and that's all I want to hear. He just wanted to hear stripped down bare bones of the song. And he picked the two that he really liked, and we just went from there. And into the studio we went and recorded these songs, and it was just an amazing experience to watch him work. It was a different approach than we had with Byron. Not better or worse, just different. It was, you know, interesting to watch him kind of put these songs together, because he was in Toronto at the time, and he flew out here, and we did some stuff. Like, he'd done the bed tracks, which would be bass and drums, out there with a couple of guys that he was comfortable with, and then he flew out here, and then we did another session in the studios here, you know, vocals and piano and guitars and things, and then I recorded out at his place, actually, in Ontario. We had to recut some vocals, so I cut some vocals at his place in Ontario as well. So it was put together over a span of time, but thought, you know, and I was unsure, because of the previous sessions that I've ever done, it's always been everything's done at once, and that's it. But I was really happy, you know, really happy with the outcome.
And I'm telling you, I spend more time talking about Jeff on this show than any other producer, because everybody that's been on the show is working with him. Like, we just had Dan Davison, Lemon Cash. We've had so many, you know, people that have worked with him, and, you know, Brett Kissel, so many. And, you know, it's just an amazing job that he does. But he's got that magic touch, because he seems to be able to read you, you know, the moment you walk in, and he knows what you're capable of, even though you might not know you're capable. And you might have been used to doing something a certain way. He just seems to be able to pull something new out of everybody. And it's nice to see that the end product is pretty spectacular. Really, really
good.
Yeah,
I would say he's, everybody asks me what he's like, and it's like, I would think he'd be like the Rick Rubin of the North. Just a better beard.
I know. It's so funny. Because I am having him on the show because I just need to pick his brain just for a minute, just to get inside that head of his.
Oh, you'll need to have about 3 or 4 episodes for him. He's a wealth of just his knowledge base, because he's done so much in not only just as a producer, but A&R and, you know, in the record industry for years. And he's produced so many different artists, not only country artists. I mean, Tom Wilson and
a lot of rock,
things of that nature. You know, so he's done so much when it comes to music in Canada.
He's a great instrumentalist too, so he really understands. You know, he really understands what the pulse is in music right now in all genres. And that's what I love about him. He's just a wealth of information, I'm telling you.
He is originally a drummer, though, so we won't hold that against him.
He's going to be playing, I hear, with Smoke and Ashes on for some
live
shows.
Oh, is he?
Yes.
That'll be awesome.
I'm going to be at that show. I got to see that. I got to see him play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Love Pete Lesperance.
I remember him saying one of his quotes. Jeff was on an interview, and they'd asked him about a song or a new band, and he just said, "The answer always lies within the artist." And it was like, "Jeez, thanks, Jeff. All right, we'll figure this out."
The puzzle.
Okay, so he's like Yoda.
He's a Yoda.
And Rick Rubin, all tied into one.
I can't wait to have him on the show. Pete's on the show tomorrow. Pete's on the show.
Oh, Pete's awesome.
Yeah.
Pete's fantastic. Yeah, just unbelievable talented.
Those two
not
go
only
back.
Guitar player, but mandolin, guitar. He's so great.
Played on this, on our single.
Oh, did he really?
He did.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Did. It shouldn't surprise me. Because he's just, I don't know how he does it. I have no idea how that man does it. He's a busy boy.
He's a talent.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
He's like so well in demand. I don't think he had to do the studio in his house. He wouldn't have time for anything else. He wouldn't be able to fly everywhere he goes. We have been talking about it. Now it's time to play it. Country's new duo, Jaywalker's brand new debut single, Drawn a Blank, right here on Music's Journey.
In the mind, it plays over and over all the time. I didn't know it then, but I was blind. Feels like yesterday. Every detail still right there in place. I close my eyes and I see her face, and I drift away. I remember the heart on her necklace, the $10 bed was what's on that band was playing. I remember my name on her lips, the red in her kiss, and the way those dreams were swaying. Every little curve, the love we made, I remember the look she gave. Oh, but ask me why I let her slip away. Yeah, I'm drawn to blank.
Can't think of a thing, can't think of a thing, can't think of
what the hell was I thinking.
Can't think of a thing, can't think of a thing, can't think of a thing.
Yeah, it's true that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. You can't go back and you can't move on. All I do is hold on to.
I remember the heart on her necklace, the $10 bed was the song that band was playing. I remember my name on her lips, the red in her kiss, and the way those jeans were swaying. Every little curve, the love we made, I remember the look she gave. Oh, but ask me why I let her slip.
Song that band was playing. I remember my name on her lips, the red in her kiss, and the way those jeans were swaying. Every little curve, the love we made, I remember the look she gave. But when asked me why I let her slip away. Yeah, I'm drawn to blank.
what the hell was I thinking? Can't think of a thing, can't think of a thing, can't think of a thing. Yeah, I'm drawing a blank. Can't think of a thing, can't think of a thing, can't think of what the hell was I thinking?
What a great song by country duo Jay Walker. That is the debut single, Drawn a Blank, out right now on all streaming platforms. You can download it. You can share it on all your social media platforms. And don't forget, you can call your local radio station and request it to be added to the daily rotation. So kind of cool. So this is such a great song right now. And we are back talking to Darren and Rob.
Are you?
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, everybody over there. What a great song, and it's such a great track. Now, tell us the reasons for Drawing a Blank, the reasons why you had this put into the lyrics, because it's a different twist here than what I was saying earlier. So we're talking about relationships, and we're talking about people that we can't figure out why we keep thinking about somebody, but, you know, we just draw a blank to the reasons why we let them go.
I'll leave that to Darren on that one. Over to you, Darren.
Over to you, Darren.
I think the whole concept behind it was, yeah, it was a, you know, the idea came from that, where it's like you have, you know, you have these, not only, you know, relationships, but friends. Mm-hmm. You know, you had friends in high school that you always used to hang out with. And then for some reason, it's just, why did we stop hanging out? We used to have so much fun, you know, and people just, life moves on, people grow apart, and that's just an aspect of growing up and moving on. And yeah, that's, I don't know.
Kind of a cool way to think about it. Because I think anybody can relate, even when, you know, you're starting your first job and the friendships you made, or when you're first in high school, people that you hung out that were such a big part of your life. And then all of a sudden everybody disperses after high school.
They go their own ways. They meet new people, they, you know, new friend groups, new all that stuff, right? So it's just, it's like, well, why did we stop communicating? Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say.
Very cool. Okay.
I'm drawing a blank. Can't think of a thing.
I knew that was coming. I walked right into that one. Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys got the new video coming up. You guys are shooting it, you said, this weekend?
Yes, exactly. And we're stoked to get it. It's been difficult to nail everybody down just because one thing or another was scheduling through the summer since Alberta, the lights went on in our industry again. So Everyone has been touring and everyone's been working, and it's been one thing or another. So it got shot a little later than we'd hoped, but it's still better late than never. And so we're going to get it out there, and we'll be able to get a good look at it before the end of September, or before the end of August.
Perfect. We're going to have to watch out for that one. I'll put that onto the article too. Now, you guys were playing at Stampede. That just finished. That must have been so much fun to be able to get out there and play live.
Oh yeah, it was amazing. The crowds were fantastic. The people were just ready to see live music. And yeah, it was a little unnerving too, to be around so many people at once. You know, you're going from being, you know, the socially distanced and masks to, you know, people want to shake your hand and grab you and hug you, and you guys were great. And it's like you want to do it, and you're not sure if you should, but it was, you know, to see so many people having fun again and just enjoying and being part of that whole, you know, embrace of music was just, it was an amazing feeling. It was fantastic.
Last year they didn't get to do Calgary Stampede, so it's just so nice to be able to see that open up. And that's just one of the shows everybody looks forward to, especially out in Calgary. It's just one that everybody tries to get to. I haven't got there yet.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on it.
Oh, you got to come out. Well, we had some friends that ours was the first show that they'd come and seen in, you know, the first time they'd gone out in public besides a grocery store or something else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were just like, people are still unsure. You know, it's just the way it is right now. But there's other people who are ready to leave all the last year and a half behind and get out and just move on, right? So it's, you know, in both,
it's a balance.
You got to respect both opinions. It's
That's
like,
right.
You got to do what you feels best for you, right? So
yeah, it's a balance out there. Now, are you guys, Rob, are you going to be doing any more shows that are coming up?
Well, we did, just to touch on Stampede, we did end up playing the Nashville North, which is right on the grounds in this big beer tent, and, you know, a couple thousand people just hooting and hollering. So you said it was a party, and we're thankful that we're open here in Alberta. We hope that's how it stays.
Mm-hmm.
And we also played a smaller venue called the King Eddie, which is on 9th Avenue, downtown Calgary. And it's part of a National Music Center, which is this beautiful museum, keyboards and stuff in there. There's really cool stuff. So it was cool, two really sort of different shows, and so we were totally thankful to do it. And then we came off the road, and it had been really crazy just with the travel and the plane, and so we had a little bit of time to ourselves, and then it was bang. Mm-hmm. Back out, and we just finished playing a small rural place called Irocana, which is close to my hometown of Drumheller, where I grew up. So Darren and I went and did that, and it was another museum, which was wild. So they had, you know, vintage hot rods and old trucks and combines and farm equipment and tractors. It was hilarious. So it was really very down home, and so it's quite the varying types of shows that we're doing. Mm-hmm. And we've got next week we're playing with our friend Clayton Bellamy back to Calgary again, so we're looking forward to doing that. And then we're going to be firing up. There's some rodeos that are going to happen in September for us, so I think we're going to announce that exactly when where we're going to be appearing, but I think that's going to be happening. Want to stay in touch and see what's going on. Jaywalker Country on both Facebook, Instagram, and of course jaywalkercountry.com. You can keep up to date with what's happening, because the shows seem to be announced weekly. Things to schedule change. So that's kind of how it's gone. But that's the best way, is just to check us out on the socials. And that'll be
and great. TikTok, of course, because we're going to be seeing this dance TikTok. By that's Rob. Right. Yeah.
What should our first TikTok be, Kim? What should it be?
I want to see a line dance by Rob.
I can't line dance.
That's the point. I want to see a line dance.
It'd be a spectacle. But, you know, I don't know. If the people want what the people want.
I just heard today that TikTok is going from a minute to 3 minutes, Rob, so we could get you line dancing for three whole minutes now.
See?
On TikTok.
Well, that'll make two people be happy about that. Neither, not
he's gonna
me.
He's going to have this huge, he's going to have this rubber ducky or something around him or something. I don't know.
A spectacle. It'll be a spectacle. For all four people that'll watch.
Hey, I'll be watching. Hey, I will stream that one. So yeah, you got to let me know when.
Really good, Kim. Really good.
You always can count on me, Rob. Come on. You know you can. You know you can.
I appreciate you.
I know
appreciate
you do. You. Okay, so we're going to do some burning questions time of the show. Is that okay?
For sure.
Sure.
Okay, we're going to fire at you. Okay, so Rob, beer or whiskey?
Can't I do both? Or no, I would skate. Let's go. Let's just keep it real here. I think if it's a hot day, you know, let's have a beer.
Okay.
But if you're trying to just not get into it too heavily, you know, just have one and, like, I like to go one and done if you're going to do whiskey. And, you know, you got to do it after the show. Don't do it before.
Is there a favorite kind of whiskey?
I like bourbon, actually. And nice. I like Woodford Reserve is my favorite.
Very nice. That's a nice one. Really nice. What about you, Darren? Beer or whiskey?
It's pretty well the same. I'm a beer guy for the most part. And if I'm just kind of sitting around relaxing, a nice little glass of bourbon is quite nice. Yeah.
Very nice. Now this
maybe
one...
that's why Rob and I have been in a band together for so long.
They know what to send you to put in your room, right?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, now
makes the rider easy.
That's right. What's on your rider? Now that you brought that up.
Oh God.
Ah, come on.
Let's see. It's water. Changed. You know, this is the first time in all the interviews that we've ever done someone's asked us what's on the rider, for sure. For sure, for sure. So kudos to you, Kim, for laying this one on me. Okay, so there's 24 beer, a bottle of Malbec wine, I think, and some food, like 24 water, because there's like, you know, six or seven people touring sometimes, so that's why. So it's not like I'm drinking that, but anyway, there's, you know, a couple of... And guests show up, and so they drink that. So I think
that's the TikTok part coming, right?
Yeah,
exactly.
Usually like a veggie tray or something like that too to snack on. Okay. It's nothing too extreme. Nothing too extreme.
That's pretty tame. I used to have to do all those riders, so yeah, I know.
Well, you just see, everybody's done the gigs where there's this huge, extensive rider, and then it's just all left there. And you know, after a while, you just start thinking, you know, if you're not going to eat it, why order it?
That's
you know.
True. It's true. You could feed a small community, you know, half the stuff I used to get. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now this one.
I would say the most important one by far is water, is having water and of course getting a meal, but it's just without water, it's tough to sing and it's tough to kind of get through the day when you've been traveling all day. So that's number one, really.
Water's the big one. Yeah. I'm going with water. It's been,
When it comes to you guys going on stage, do you still get nervous, Rob?
No, I would say no. You're usually just so, like the way it was when we went back on stage, it was just sort of like, hey, is my monitor mix working? Can I hear everything? Mm-hmm. Is everybody on time? Do I have a set list down in front of me? Is there a bottle of water there? Are we on time? Who's introducing us? Do they have the intro? So it's more like those kind of things. So I'm too busy to worry about, to get nervous sort of. I'm sort of like, let's go, you know, because I'm usually sort of handling some of the road managing duties. And so that's sort of where my brain's at, is all scattered all over the place and trying to just relax mostly.
What about you, Darren?
I would say more anxious than nervous. Like Rob is saying, you're like, hopefully everything works out. Your sound guy knows what's going on. If you're using, you know, a different sound guy, house tech, and it's not, I don't know. Yeah. It's just more anxious to kind of get going and get the show happening. It's like, okay, let's get out there. Let's go. Come on. Let's
the adrenaline, right?
And like, oh my God, I hope this doesn't happen. I hope, you know, it's just, you want to get out there and start. It's like a horse in a, at the racetrack. It's stomping around, getting ready to hit the, you know, open the gate. I'm ready to run. Let's go.
It's that adrenaline, right? It's that energy that you pick up on and you just like, yeah. And I know that's the difference, you know, when it comes to performing. At least you didn't have to do, you know, the cars in the parking lot, you know, and having the horns as, you know, like last year.
We did one of those and it was weird.
Isn't it weird?
Like Dan Davidson played one and it was just beep, 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 and then it would be quiet. And you'd be like, oh.
It's like dead still.
Well, that's, yeah.
You don't know if people are singing in the car. You have no idea what's going on. It's just a weird vibe. But, you know,
there's no front end either. Like, there's no speakers. It's all FM. Like, they would dial it in on their FM dial. So if you we usually use in-ear monitors. And if you take an ear out to hear, you know, what's going on out in the crowd, it's just quiet.
Oh, man.
It's just weird.
That's going to be unnerving.
It was a weird thing. It was a challenge, but, you know, that was...
You did it.
Once again, it's like, you know, you just do it, and that's how it is. You just be thankful. I mean, a lot of it, too, is you're playing music, again, with your good friends and your pals, you know. And, you know, you're playing with great players and great, you know, you're playing great songs. And that in itself is a gift, just to be able to do that, because there's so many guys that'll be like, oh, I played with this horrible band last week. And it's like, I've been lucky enough in my career to have never had to, you know, maybe when we started out. But, you know, now everybody that we surround ourselves with musically is just...
They're all seasoned.
Great at what they do. We feel very blessed to have these top-notch players and just fantastic people around us when we're playing.
Pretty cool. Yeah, absolutely. You guys got some really great veterans, really seasoned players that go with you guys. Now, favorite country song of all time, Rob?
Oh, geez. I don't think it's possible to pick one, Kim. It's not a fair question, okay?
Yes, it is. Go on the lyrics. Come on, songwriter. Come on.
Well, you know, geez, that's pretty tough. But I don't know. I love Poncho and Lefty, which is an old school one. That's a little duet, you know, that I played way back in the day. I just love the melody and it's a good story, right? And that's what you were talking about, lyrics.
Yeah.
And to me, you know, country music is always about the story, and that's a beauty. And there's a whole handful of them that I could fire off to you. But I mean, if I had to pick one, I guess you held me to one. I guess it would probably be that. I always love playing that song, and that would be one of them for sure. So
very
I could give you another 20, I suppose, but that one's a beauty.
Very, very cool. What about you, Darren? He's had time to think about it.
That's so hard, but I'm going to say the thing that popped into my brain, the first thing was Old Chunk of Coal by Billy Joe Shaver.
Oh, wow. Haven't heard that one in a long time. Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
That's one of my favorites.
Okay, so when you guys have been out on tour, what is the funniest thing that you guys do to pass the time, Darren? You know I went to Darren first.
What do we do? Pass the time? Take a nap.
Really? Oh, you're so disappointing me right now.
Can't think of anything.
See, I went to Darren first. What the heck? Come on.
I can help you out here, buddy.
Okay. You go ahead. Sure, you go.
Okay, great. So I'm not sure if you've seen our Instagram yet, Kim, but I will take a picture of just about anything and comment on it. And to me, that's amusing. So, I mean, as far as passing the time, social media has made sure I don't have any free time. So there it is. That's where it went.
What's your favorite thing to take a picture of? I'm scared to ask that question, but I just did.
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. I I think it was an organic, started with the organic apple. I was like, this is my favorite apple. And so I kind of have a crazy, little crazy about apples, like, and which is your favorite? And so that was kind of, you know, I mean, it's probably that. It's just about, I mean, the last thing I took a picture of, I took a picture of Darren on a tractor at the Air Canada show.
I saw that.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I took a picture of that. And
you're my best George Jones.
So, I mean, if I go into my phone right now and tell you the last thing I'd have a picture of, let's do that. Let's be honest.
That's good.
Like 100% honesty. Okay, I just opened my photos, my phone. The last thing I took a picture of, a fan of ours sent a picture of them listening to Drawing a Blank on Sirius 171 satellite radio. So that is the first picture that is in my phone. So I was really kind and of her.
Wake
that was really
up.
Good.
All right.
Weird stuff. Let's go back to most embarrassing moments on stage. I could probably give you that.
Oh, okay.
One.
Let's go back to that one.
Yeah. Yeah. I was wearing boots and they had these chains on them and they kind of wrapped around the heel, right in between the heel and the sole of the boot. And they were kind of loose. I was like, it's fine. I was so happy with my cool boots, Mr. Cool, you know, running around in my concert metal boots or whatever they were. And so anyway, was ripping back to the stage and I had, there was this, it was previous to me working with Darren, but anyway, it was in Kid Country and we were running around with our guitars in the dance floor and I had to run back on stage. And so I took the biggest head plant ever on like this. It was so embarrassing. And then I had to go back on stage and just, you know, 300 people looking and pointing and laughing. You know, yeah, that's right. I just ate it.
See, those are the moments that I live for.
Oh yeah, it was extra funny. I was just cursing this stupid chain. I'm going to be like, I guess it's not that cool after all, you and your boots. So
I don't know what it is about people falling. I don't mean to. I really don't mean to laugh at people, but I'll ask them if they're okay first. If I know they're okay, I can't.
Why are you laughing at them?
I'm on the floor.
Are you okay?
I can't help it.
Yeah,
I don't know
what
it is.
I've done that. Yeah, no question about it.
Well, you guys are amazing, and thank you so much for being good sports and being able to come on and talk about your brand new single. So we're going to remind everybody, if you love the song, don't forget, you can download it, and it's called Drawing a Blank, and it's out right now on all streaming platforms, and you can download it, share it onto all your social platforms, and don't forget to call your local country radio station and request it to be added to the daily rotation. I am so honored to have you guys on the show, and we look forward to having you back, and when you guys are going to be releasing some new music that you guys have been doing in the studio, you've been working really hard at, so we cannot wait, and congratulations on everything that you guys are doing right now.
Awesome. Thanks, Kim. It was so great to talk to you and reconnect again.
We look forward to having you back. So you guys take care, and we're going to be watching for that video. So, and then we're going to be watching for the TikTok dance.
You're good to us, Kim.
I'm not going to let anybody forget. Okay.
All right, then. Sounds great. I'll start practicing.
All right. Listen, you guys take care. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay.
Thanks, Kim.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Once again, a great big thank you to Darren and Rob from Jaywalker for coming out today and talking to us about their brand new single, Drawing a Blank. Download that one and add it to your playlist. It's a really, really cool song. They got some great stuff coming up with their new EP, so we got to stay tuned. They've got a new release coming up at the end of August, they said, for the video. So we're going to be looking forward to that. If you want to tune in to all of the podcasts, you can go to musicsjourney.com or our sponsors, Now and Then magazine.com. We have always got some great information on each artist or band that we interview, so check out the article and the podcast there. That's it for me today. I am your host, Kim Sear. Have yourself a wonderful day, and thank you so much for listening to Music's Journey.